Learned a new word the other day, and I guess this is an official word. I looked it up, and it was already online and everything, and it's called a frenemy. You ever heard of frenemy? You ever heard that, Dave? I mean, frenemy is friend and enemy. It's a legitimate word. It works in the Scrabble game. it's in the dictionary now. Frenemy. It describes two or more people who are apparently friends but are actually enemies. Such relationships may occur due to the desire of each of either to keep a close eye on the actions of the other. Keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. It is commonly used to describe two people who are apparently friends but actually dislike each other. This may be because they feel the need to keep up appearance or because they do not want to lose mutual friends. Often both people know they are in a frenemy-style relationship, while sometimes only one party feels that way. Alternatively, two people who are apparently enemies may actually be friends in private with the apparently hostile relationship portrayed in order to deceive a third party or other forms of gain. That's a frenemy. Now, look at Jude 12. Tribulation book. But this thing is popping up more and more. Now, when we describe frenemy, do you know of any frenemies? You've got frenemies. We've all got frenemies. Maybe you are a frenemy. You're a friend of somebody because you're a Christian, but you still dislike them. And you're deceitful kind of a thing. But that's from that side. Look at the other side. These authors, these pastors, these preachers, these teachers, people are trying to get you somewhere else and they're still, they come over and have dinner with you and they want you to pal around with you. They pal around with your kids. You know what those kids are to your kids? They're frenemies. And Jude 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And yet he talks about the fact that they're eating with us. They're amongst us. You know, we've talked about the Tobiah thing 1,000,000,000 times to deaf ears. And there are people that have made friends with us in here that will turn on you in a second. And have turned on you. You just don't know it yet. They're a frenemy. We have frenemies. And it's really too bad. But we do. So I thought that was pretty good. I like that word, frenemy. Now this morning, part two. Believe it or not, from my lips, from my heart, from my mind, from myself, we are going to look at some more verses and some more things on how to live peaceably with all men. Doesn't that sound exciting? I mean, in the next couple of weeks, you will be able to have peace with everybody. And you'll have all the peace in your life. You will no longer be frustrated and disturbed, that type of a thing. So this morning, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 4. I have no alternative reason for doing this. I'm not going down this series to show somebody else that, yes, I do preach this. I'm not doing that at all. I think it's time to look at this because I have a feeling that we think that we are not trying to live peaceably with people when in all reality we are. But 1 Corinthians 13, 4 talks about charity. Now, one of the characteristics of charity is in verse 4, where it says, it is kind. Charity is kind. So this morning, we're going to look at kindness. Being kind one to another. And like I say, this is not me. I'm not going to say that I've been mean to people in my life, but I did a sermon a long time ago, back in my Ruckmanitis days, if you remember correctly, and I preached about how I don't want to be nice. I don't want to be considered a nice preacher. Remember that at all? Anybody remember that stuff? Kind of. I don't want to be nice. So that was. I think I know where I was going with that thing, but anyway. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Okay. That was... My phone bill is ready now. Yeah. See, now I can't bug you folks about your cell phones because here I've got mine going here. Have you noticed how your computers and your cell phones and stuff change on you and you wake up in the morning? The settings are different. You ever notice that? You get up in your morning and grab your Bible and suddenly in an NIV. How did that happen? You know? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We're looking at kindness this morning. I thought that might have been Paul calling. Or Luke or somebody.
Yeah.
But it's not. It was Verizon. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now, charity is kind. We're just going to stop on kindness. But I was shown this, and it's very good. Verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity. Okay, that's good. That's a very important thing. Remember, Paul even said, of those three, that's the most important kind of a thing. And now when the Bible comes along, the Word of God still takes precedence over charity, but still. The end of the commandment is charity. But notice, out of a pure heart. Okay? And of a good conscience. And of faith unfeigned. Now, if you're not in that category, if you're not one of those three categories, and you're yakking about charity, then you are turned aside into vain jangling. When he talks in when you go back to 1 Corinthians 14, and he says there that if you try to speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, you become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Right? Okay, then he says, although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So we see that aspect of it, to where if you are doing all the stuff that you're doing and you don't have charity, it's a waste of time. Then we also see that if you're doing all this charity talk and you do not have a pure heart, you're not doing this for real, or if you haven't got a good conscience about your lifestyle, what you're trying to do with Paul and all the things you're trying to be as a Christian, if you know that you've got difficulties in there, we all do, but I mean some serious, how's your conscience over this kind of stuff? And if your faith is strong and solid, but if it isn't, and you're using charity as a slap, then that's vain jangling. So you can either be a tinkling cymbal or a vain jangler. Take your pick. And then the comment was made to me, who knows about your charity other than God anyway? Charity that you have as a Christian is between you and God. If you're trying to let somebody know that you're having charity, you know what you just did? It's like telling somebody, I'm the humblest man in this room. It's baloney. So, it's time we look at this charity thing, knowing, of course, that we want to be real. We want it to come from us because we're real. Our heart means what we're trying to do here. We want to know that we have a good conscience about it because we are trying to learn Paul here. You're still here. You're trying to listen and hear about Paul. And you've got a strong faith. Somebody comes along with a mid-Acts thing or somebody comes along with some other teaching or whatever and they think you're crazy. You're strong. You're solid. You know what that Bible says because you have read it. You haven't been taught what's in it. You have read it. Is there a difference? You see the difference there, by the way? If you can sit down with your Bible, you may not be able to show anybody, but if you can show yourself and you realize what you got going on here, your faith will stand even when things are crumbling. And it's getting tough. It's getting hard. guy who wants to give up, wants to quit or whatever, you know what you still better have? You better still have faith. Wherever you go in that Bible, you've got God. Now, the stuff about being... time out. Pause for commercial. This sermon is brought to you by Culligan Water and Kleenex Tissue, which neither one seemed to be working. Here we go. Being kind. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, you know, I think I use the word now a lot. I got to listen to that when I start a sermon. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But let's go to verse 1, even though 6 is the verse we're looking at, where he says, by appearance, by not by life. There it is, by kindness. So kindness is in here, by the Holy Ghost. Okay, but let's go back and let's look at this whole thing. Let's go back to verse 1, because you'll see some things here that if you read slowly and you quit in the middle of this thing because your kids come running in and the house is on fire or something, you might miss what this whole thing is all about. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. So here we are. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Right there, kids comes in, you got a problem, the lizard is loose, the rat is dead. I mean, something happens, and you stop reading. It looks like this isn't even to me anyway, because this is about Paul. Well, look at what the poor guy goes through. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, there it is, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Boy, this guy's been through it. Amen? I mean, hasn't he? I mean, this is, he's gotten both sides of the stick. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged because they have gone through all that they have gone through. And we're talking Corinthians, and this is a very carnal, worldly bunch of people. Now, 12, 11 again. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. I want to show you these things. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. I mean, they did it. It's a personal thing to them. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Okay? So here's this Paul and these guys that have been what they've been through. This and that. This and that. This and that. And Corinthians, I'm there with you. My heart is enlarged. I want you to get this stuff. And then he says, by the way, you need to be the same way. You also have to have your heart enlarged. Then he goes on and tells you how to quench the heart, actually, there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Do you see that? We're not off the hook at all. Here's Paul. Here's the pastor. Whoever it will be. Whoever is, whatever is going on here, this is not just about Paul. And this is not just about the pastor, it's about who? You. I know some of you have some people that you want them to get this. And you don't hand them a book about the mid-Acts stuff. You want them to see it in their Bible. I know you have people like that. And so chances are, you can go back and look through verse 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, and you're starting to recognize those things in your own personal life. But this is why we don't give up, because this is the way it's going to be. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's just go to verse 1 again. We're going to look at verse 7. We're going to read verse 7 because it talks about His kindness toward us. God has offered His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Okay, so how was God kind? He gave us His only begotten Son. But let's read up to that point, because we tend to miss a lot of things when you pull a verse out of the sky. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Bunny trail. This is what your kids want. Right there. Amanda, Caitlin, Olivia, the young boys. Because this is all they've known. Remember we read that one thing that young people want to see something. They have a hard time with having faith. So what is it that they're going to see? They're going to see the course of this world. And according to the prince of the power of the air, very powerful thing they're looking at. And us parents have to recognize the fact that they've already seen it. And they've already grasped onto some of it. And being a retired parent that I am, they already have some of it that you don't know about. Which really irritates you, doesn't it? Just how do you keep that? Verse 3, back on the trail. Among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. That's all we talked about in those days. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Okay, bunny trail. Let's not beat the living snot out of them, because this is their nature. This is the way they are. Verse 4, back on the trail. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. So we've been created now. We're different. And He talks about the fact that it's His kindness. Now go to Titus chapter 3. Now if I do this thing wrong here this morning, it's because all I talk about is kindness. And I suppose I should probably say something now just to make sure I don't forget it. But it's very easy for us to pull the sweetness out of Paul. You know, the kindness, the charity, all these kind of things. And when we're having trouble within our homes or within our personal lives or whatever, and you realize, you know what? I haven't been kind enough to people. I have all these things we're going to get into. And today, kind. I need to be kind to people. I need to be more kind. And yet, we cannot forget. And I tell you, that'll make you a candidate for the mid-Acts crowd who have full of kindness and full of grace, and that's all they're full of. Because Paul preaches the other side of the coin as well. Remember, what does he say? How do you live peaceably with men, all men? As much as lieth within you. And if it be possible. Some people you can't be kind to because it would be wrong to be kind to them. Really? Really? To love your enemies, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah, I'll show you. I just want to make sure I get that across. Because I don't want anybody coming out of here thinking they've had issues with their family or friends or something, and you were right. And you were even right in doing so. And it wasn't just that you were right, but it shouldn't have done it. No, you were right in even doing so. I don't want you to hear this morning and think, I wasn't very kind. No, it wasn't you that wasn't very kind. It's just, you see I'm headed? We just have to remember that Paul teaches the other side of the coin. What are the words? Avoid, withdraw, have no heed, take no heed from, not to participate with, have no company with, all those kind of things. So how did Paul do this peaceable stuff with all men? How did he do this kindness? Because of some of those people, he had to walk away. He had prayer. He had tears. Yet he still despised what has caused all the damage that it's caused. How can you be kind to a situation when you're supposed to despise it? Is that a contradiction? No. When it comes to that point of whatever it is that's caused the destruction that is caused in my past and in your past, I despise that. I will not be kind towards that issue. That kind of a thing. He has grace. He has mercy. Long-suffering. Patience. Kindness. Charity. But now we heard this morning that if you're going to have charity, make sure you're sincere. Make sure you've got a good conscience. Make sure your faith is strong. Make sure you're not a fake. Make sure you're not a frenemy to do these kind of things. Because if the time comes, you need to be rebuked. You need to be reproved. And if that doesn't work, we need to step away from those folks. And if that doesn't work, off to the devil they go. Doesn't seem very kind, does it? But just don't take a subject that sounds really sugary and stay with that thing. I suppose, Olivia and girls, it would be like you have a bowl of cereal. What's your favorite cereal? Don't give me one of these granule things. But what's your favorite bad cereal? Yeah, what's your famous bad? What, you can tell us. Grandmas won't listen. Olivia, what do you got? Bad cereal. Lucky Charms. Caitlin? What is this Lucky Charms stuff? Amanda, think of something else. Tricks. How about Crinkles? Who remembers Crinkles from the olden days? It was Rice Krispies like soaked in sugar. Okay, let's say you take the wheat or the whatever that stuff is. Okay, no, it's not wheat. It's what? It's a rice and it's a grain that has been manufactured in a computer. I know that. And let's just say, what do you want for cereal this morning, kids? I would just like to have a bowl of half and half and a cup of sugar. Olivia, I mean, this is a weird thing, but Olivia looks right over at Mom like, what do you think? I mean, that sounds pretty good. You know, yeah. We'll give you stevia or something. But that's what people tend to do when they find the good stuff of Paul, you know, the kindness, the charity stuff. It's like we take out all that other stuff. I like in your guys' cases, you take the raisins out. Right? Why would you want to take the raisins out of this thing? You know? I would take a bowl of this stuff that you buy at the local poultry barn and call it cereal. Okay? And I would pick out this, and I would pick out this, I would pick out this, I would pick out this, and before you know it, you got your bowl of sugar. But it's not right. It's not healthy. So what we tend to do with this Paul stuff is we go through there and we see this, he's going to do a sermon on kindness. I'm surprised that everybody isn't here today. They just want to see me sweat, doing a sermon on being kind. But we just can't, I'm scared, this is weird, I'm scared that you would think, that's all we need to do. Now that we're Paul and we've got the issues we've got going on in our church, let's just be kind to everybody. No, there's more to it than that. But I'm going to just stick with the kindness. I think I covered myself good enough that I won't be accused of being an over-kind person. Can you imagine being on my list of descriptions is I'm too kind? I think it'd be kind of interesting. So we're looking at, what are we looking at this morning? I did Ephesians 2. We're looking at Titus 3, 4. Okay, Titus chapter 3. We're looking at verse 4. Well, we might as well go to verse 1 because we're going to look at the context. We're looking at the verse where it says in verse 4, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. But let's read verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. What do we have there? We have another one of those spoons of sugar. And if we just stop and put that sugar in and go, you feel the grind in the teeth, you know. And if you really want to do it right, you take a spoon of sugar, sorry, Grandma and Mom, and you sprinkle on this thing cinnamon. And I know, in my case, 50 or 60 raisins as you can get on that spoon. And you put that thing in there and said, oh, this is all I want for breakfast, dinner, lunch. This is it. I will come on time. Mom, I will never argue with you again. I will never talk back to you again. If you just have a bowl of sugar and cinnamon and raisins, or not raisins, and probably you're going to want it on some just ridiculously unhealthy white stick in the top of the mouth bread. And you'll be the happiest, you'll be the most loved mother in the world until something happens down the road and something doesn't look right, feel right, or is right, and all of a sudden you're a lousy mother for allowing that. Same thing right here. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Boy, we better make sure we read the rest of Paul here before we get stuck in the sugar and cinnamon here. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Well, see, that's what all these men are like. This is what's happening to these other people that are out there. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. He appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, knowing that we don't have to go to the throne to get that mercy and to get that grace. Hebrews 4:16. I mean, it's already been shed abundantly on us. Again, there's a difference between Hebrews is not written to us. Hebrews is written to the Jews. So if we go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, as a pastor, I can say that you better be praying for that mercy and be praying for that grace to help in a time of need when we already know we have it. It's already there, abundantly. Why? How? Because of the kindness and love of God, our Savior appeared toward man appeared, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You want to go down to those periods, you might find yourself 16 or 17 little sermons in there, but you still want to try to get that period in there to find out what He's being said. That's a great kindness that God showed towards us. Because while we were doing those things, His kindness appeared. Okay, does that mean God loves everybody? Remember that whole issue? No. It means God loved everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So it's there. And while they were yet sinners, yes, while they were yet sinners, and it says right here, while we were foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and everything, yes, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. There it is. If they did not accept that, they didn't have His love. We got people today saying that God has already put that love on everybody, and I'm not going to hell. God would not send me to hell. I'm just, what kind of a loving God would do that? I had somebody write the other day and tell me that they don't understand, like they're kind of blaming God for not providing the answer. And I wrote back a letter that says, what do you mean not providing the answer? He came down in the flesh Himself and he walked that, he fulfilled that law, and he took the shame, and he took the punishment, and he took the torture, and he did this in front of everybody, and he died. He went to hell, and he was sinless, and he came out of hell. He got out of hell, and he took that sin, he took that blood, went up and gave it to God the Father, and still said he'd come back here to those that rejected him in the first place. Then he goes on to the dogs, and offers the dogs everything that he's got. And you're telling me that God hasn't given you the answer? Phew. That's what college will do to you. Or your awareness of what's folly out there. Because people don't realize that's what Christ has done. They don't understand. And like Chuck was saying, they don't comprehend what that really means. And repent too on there? Okay. Their friend Kenny, coming back from that street preaching week last week, breaking down in tears. Truck drivers don't cry unless they get caught speeding. You know, otherwise they just don't cry, you know. And he broke down and said, I'm realizing what God's... He's starting to comprehend what grace really is. And it's just the kindness of God. Now, should we do that for everybody else as well? That's why we have to read all of Paul. To understand that. Sure, you can have your bowl of Pialis tomorrow. We'll get out the cinnamon and the sugar and raisins, of course, and we can have a great piano lesson. But we certainly can't do that all the time. It would be harmful to you. Okay. That's not one of the illustrations you find in these pastoral books of 5,000 illustrations either, I don't think, about the cinnamon sugar thing. I was big because of cinnamon and sugar, too. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. You see what I'm saying here this morning? I'm not trying to diffuse being kind. I mean, we have Olivia, three brothers. We have Caitlin, a sister, and two more on the way. Already out of the cooker. I mean, they're coming. They're here. It's just a matter of time. And we've got Paul, Luke, and David, and Stephen. We've got, here I go. Who else have we got? Who else have we got? Well, Chloe's only got one so far. What's that? Didn't I say Nathan? What did I say? I said David? I wouldn't wish that on any of you boys. You've got Paul, Luke, Stephen, and Nathan. Right? There we go. And I'm sure there's been more than one time that your mom and dad have said, can't you boys just be kind to each other once in a while? You know? Sam, can't you just be... What are you smiling for already? You know where we're going to this thing. Are you kind to Olivia? What is that? Like a bobblehead answer. You know? One of those bobbleheads in the back window of a car. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. I mean, I'm not trying to diffuse kindness here. I know what some of you were thinking. You're having such a hard time talking about kindness. But no, we need to be kind. But not only. There's some other signs. But we'll work on the kindness. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. Where's that here? There we go. Well, we might as well go back up a couple of verses, don't you suppose? Let's go up to verse... Well, that's a Minnesota thing, don't you suppose? Let's go up to verse 29. Let no corruption proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Well, that's just another spoonful of sugar, isn't it? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay, so we all of us Bible guys park on this, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, but we tend to forget that this no corrupt communication should proceed out of our mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So sometimes things come out of our mouth, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. That's what he's saying here. 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I mean, put that thing away. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Marvelous stuff. Now, wait a minute now. I hope that you thought enough about Paul and what you've learned about Paul that that's not always the thing to do right there. Sure, there should be no bitterness. There should be no wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Should not be corrupt communication that you're just spewing out of your mouth. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. No problem with that at all. No problem with that at all. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We see all the way down that chapter. This is the part where somebody's walking disorderly and they're not allowing you to do the Paul thing, which you've learned to be as a Christian, and they're not behaving properly and causing troubles and et cetera. You go down to verse 14. It says, I have no company with them. So see, it comes to this point where you can only be kind so long. And eventually you've got to have no company with somebody. But it still says in verse 15, they're still not your enemy. And I sense in the Christian circle today that people don't understand that there's more to being kind than just being kind. There's more to having charity than just having charity. There comes a time when you've got to go past that kindness and past that charity and past these other things we're going to talk about. Tender-hearted, that's good to have. Forgiving one another. Christ forgave you. Why can't you forgive somebody else? Well, we're not talking about a forgiveness issue here, whatever the issue is taking place. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Verse 10. I guess we should do 9. Probably ought to do 8. There we go. Go to 8. But now ye also put off these things. Put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Have you noticed that our mouth is just wicked? Do you have to go to James to find out how wicked our mouth is? No. You can go to James and find a couple of good verses on the fire that tongue can kindle, but that's not where we're supposed to go. You will read that and you will see it reaffirmed in the tribulation, but you don't have to go to James to find out how dangerous our tongue is. Matter of fact, Paul is far more detailed, isn't he? I mean, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. That's in detail. Okay, So Paul's teachings of the dangers of our tongue say more than what it says in James, because James was written back before the gospel times and stuff. Then what does that verify with us about Paul's teachings? His way is the what? More perfect. You get more out of Paul than you're ever going to get out of the gospels, than you're ever going to get out of James. You're going to get the details of what this mouth can do. James just tells you that it's very damaging. Paul gives you the details. So he says there, verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, that be God, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, of His type of people, if that's how you wanted them to be, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, there it is, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh, I'm just about ready to choke on my cinnamon and sugar spoon here. But see, I know there's more to that than just that. Again, go down the list. Despise, destroy. First thing is to discover, just to find out something's wrong in a situation. So yeah, you still despise the situation. You still want to destroy the magnificence of that in your life or for your kids' sake. But as far as other people go, mercy, long-suffering, patience, kindness, charity, out of a pure heart, unfeigned faith, good conscience, all the stuff. And yet there comes a time where you need to still step away. Sometime you got to take that marvelous spoon and sugar and cinnamon and you've got to put it down. And that's the hardest time, isn't it? I mean, this is not hard to pick up. I mean, it's like, you can do that without even thinking about it. You ever notice how if you close your eyes, you know where your mouth is? You've been there so many times, you go right to it. I mean, that's one of the first things you learn. But I know that you learned it kind of cutely, though. You know, little babies, food goes up to the forehead. Remember that? Over here? Kind of stuff. Up the nose. But boy, once that tongue starts to go, I'm over here, and go, you're in there. So we learn how to do that. And we like that stuff. I'm coming to realize that we don't like, as a Christian, the exceptions to all these things that Paul teaches us about kindness and charity. The reproof, the rebuke, the avoid, to have no company with. We don't like that. And the reason people are not here, because they don't like that either. The reason people are in these other churches, because they like the cinnamon and the sugar on the spoon. Matter of fact, the pastor does it himself. Here you go, Lewis. Here's your sipping for the day. You know. Here you go, Sue. Here's your stuff. And that's what they do. Come on to our church. This guy, he'll even leave the raisins out if you don't like the raisins. You know, kind of a thing. And that's what's going on. Look at Acts 28. Kindness. Being kind. Your brother walks down the hall of the living room. And you're sitting on the chair, and your feet are kind of underneath the chair where you're sitting. And he's probably carrying his pet frog or something. You know, his pet something. And what are you thinking of doing here? What's running across your mind, kids? You're squirming a little bit. You say, no, you already got the right answer. And Sam is back there grinning from ear to ear. You know what you want to do to this guy who's walking across from in front of you. He's got his frog in his hand. And Mom is sitting on the other side over there. So if you do this just right, and you catch that foot just right, that frog will end up in Mom's little Starbucks coffee. And that would not be very what, Amanda? That would not be very kind. And that's all we're talking about here. It would be horrendously funny for about 10 seconds. But it wouldn't be a very kind thing to do. So Paul tells us again here that we need kindness is something we're supposed to be as a Christian. Acts 28:2. And this is shameful, this one. I might as well go to one. And when they were escaped, then they knew the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people, this is not their names. It's not Frank and Henry Barbarous. These are some rotten people here. Barbarous people. Maybe not rotten. They were, I shouldn't say rotten. They were, I hate to say Jungle Bunny. They were, what? Primitive. There we go. Thank you very much. That's much, much better to say it that way. Barbarous people showed us no little kindness. And that means they showed him a lot. For they kindled the fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, sometimes when it rains, it can be cold. It's been so long. I've never experienced that out here. But it can be cold when it rains. And so these guys were, they showed no little kindness. And you have somebody over to your house, and you do everything you can to show them no little kindness. You're very kind to them. And haven't you discovered that after a while, that sometimes, not every time, but now you have a problem. These people have been fed sugar and cinnamon and raisins for a couple of weeks now. And you don't want to give them cinnamon, sugar, and raisins anymore. Now what do I do? You just keep showing them kindness? No, you have to deal with something. Especially if it's hurting the kids, hurting the house. What if somebody comes over and they constantly think it's really cute to carve their name on your furniture somewhere? You know, that's, you know. Oh, do you go up to them and you say, "That was nicely done. I like how you dotted your I." That's being kind. But that's not the time to be kind. When you go home today for lunch, girls, it is not the time to go to the kitchen and get out the spoon and the sugar and the cinnamon. Timing is very important. Okay? Look at Romans chapter 12. Now, that whole story about, those barbarous people is quite an interesting story if you haven't taught it to the kids yet. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Well, you can go up the list up there if you'd like. Up to verse 3 and 4 and 5. By the way, Bunnyfield, the Mid-Ax guy, says that there are no gifts today. Well, there are no gifts out of Corinthians, but there sure is a stack of gifts right there. Anyway, down in verse 10, he just says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another." Kindly affectioned. Now let's go to Luke 18, then we'll be done here in a flash. Interesting thing takes place here. Luke 18, going back to the Gospels now. I don't want Luke 18, 13. What do I want? I want Luke chapter 6. There we go. This is the only place in the Gospels I was able to find anything about being kind. Isn't that interesting? As far as being told to be kind. Verse 35. "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again." Dave, I need to borrow $8,000. Do you care if I don't pay you back? Dave. That's where you got to go with this. See, I have to remember this verse when a Great Commission person comes up and starts to talk to you. Just bounce them to this verse right here. "Hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great." And go down where it says, "For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Okay, "Be ye therefore merciful." So it looks to me like God was kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be good to the enemies. Then he says, "Be ye therefore merciful," which must tie in a little bit with the kindness. Because he says, "He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful." So merciful and kindness kind of tie together, wouldn't you think? It's kind of how you do that definition thing. But you know how many times being merciful towards somebody else is in Paul's books? None. Merciful. That's interesting. Talks about mercy, but merciful. Is there a reason for that? He tells us to be kind. And right back here, if we wanted to go back into Luke 6:35, we want to see this. He's right there. It says right there, love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and be kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Notice that it also says, your reward shall be great. Have you ever been kind to somebody and got nothing out of it? Oh, yeah. Have you ever been kind to somebody and been burnt? Oh, yeah. But it gets better than that. It says, and ye shall be the children of the highest. So you know what in the Gospels kindness is being tied into? Their salvation. Because you're children of the highest. You're children of God. You're a peacemaker. By being kind to people makes you a Christian. According to that rendition of that interpretation of that thing. So what do we have today? We have modern Christians. The modern Great Commission deceived, majorly deceived, denominational, many different Bibles, good pastors, whatever, but teaching the wrong stuff, telling people that these people, because they're kind to other people, they think that's what makes them a Christian. And when you die, you're going to be able to be with God the Father kind of thing and say, well, I've been as kind as I possibly can to people. And some of those people are very kind people. I mean, you can't argue with somebody who's being kind. Then you got the guys that believe the Bible to be rightly divided. And it seems like kindness just doesn't show up all that much. And yet we realize that because when kindness isn't to, even and the kindness isn't supposed to be there, we got to avoid and the withdrawal and the have no company with, and you got the rebuke and the reprove. We tend to forget that we're also supposed to what? Be kind. That's one of the ways of living peaceably with all men, is to be kind. Knowing, of course, that there's more to being kind than just being kind to everybody. Because there are some people, it just can't lieth within you to be kind to that situation, to that person. It's not possible to be kind to that person. Have you ever tried to be kind to somebody who won't even let you be kind to? Anybody recognize that? I know somebody that we tried to be kind to, and they would never let us be kind to them as a church. Right? It's a huge pride issue to not let somebody be kind to you. And it's an amazing thing. I'm being careful here. They're not here anymore. And yet the accusations fly that there is no charity and there is no kindness. And when the charity was there, they wouldn't take it. And when the kindness was offered, they rejected it. Isn't that an amazing thing? I don't mean to, but we might as well be family here. That's puzzling. It's very puzzling. So kindness is a very important thing, as much as lieth within you. If it be possible, be kind to somebody. There you go.